Welcome to episode 236 of Coffee Pods and Wads. Rad have launched their latest duo yesterday in the UK and last week in the US. You can go to rad-global.com to get a pair of Thunder and Lightning. I actually have a pair of the Thunders and they look sort of like a pair of penguins if you look down at them, or kind of like Bane. They're two very polarly opposite ideas there. Anyway, I like them and they've got the same great Rad comfort. The hybridacademy.store for the Hybrid Academy's latest oversized range. You can use Pod 10 for a discount there. They've got sweaters and other stuff, or jumpers if you're from Ireland. Whoop are offering you a discount and a free 4.0 if you go to join.whoop.com/CPW. You can find out what makes your ticker tick and how to get your ticker to tick more better with the best recovery coach. And then Rain is nice, but I guess probably too much of it would probably stop your ticker ticking and make it tick no more. But it tastes nice, so I don't know, balance, I guess. Speaking of those great sponsors, if you go to Just Giving and search 80-20 and donate anything over a fiver to their fundraising to get them to the games, they've got a team, an adaptive athlete, and a master's athlete. If you send me proof of your donation of over a fiver, I'll enter you into a raffle for 6 months of Rain or 6 months of Whoop and a free 4.0 or a free pair of Rad trainers or a £50 Hybrid Academy voucher. So all those prizes will go to different people. You can support them in what they're trying to do until they leave, and then we'll pick winners. So Just Giving and search 80-20 and then send me proof. Today's guest is Alex Gazan. Alex works with Kiefer and Justin at Underdogs, and she's headed for her rookie appearance at the Games this year after punching her ticket at Granite Games. She explains how she wound up in Vegas in the first place, what success might feel like in Madison, all the recent changes at Underdogs, and games prepping with Ricky Gerard. Enjoy, listen, share, and tag. Okay, so thanks for doing this eventually. So I had to reschedule on you a good while ago. And I think we were supposed to talk just after semifinals. And now we're talking just before the games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what a time to be alive. Where are you from originally?
I'm from a small town called Hood River, Oregon. It's like about an hour east of Portland.
Okay, that's like Shoe City, isn't it? That's like Nike and
yeah,
all those, yeah. And you, I heard you on Savan's show recently. That was about a month ago or about 3 weeks ago. And so you moved to Vegas because of your husband, is that right? He was moving, him and his dad own a company together, a work company together, is it?
Yeah, that's correct. So he moved with his dad here. And then I just followed suit.
Can I come? Okay. And were you married then?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you get married?
We got married March of 2020.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you get to have a wedding?
No, we got married in our friend's living room.
Okay. Is that like because of COVID and stuff or just because of like you wanted something small?
We were gonna get married in December of that year, like, and do like a destination wedding with our family.
Oh, cool.
But then I was like, well, what if COVID just keeps happening and we can't, and then it gets canceled in December?
Yeah.
Let's just do it now. So we got married in the living room. We're hoping to, like, maybe in a couple years have like a fake wedding and like have a party. And
oh, yeah. But you can fund it when you win the games, you can fund it. You can just, yeah, that'd be amazing. Where was your destination wedding planned, or had you a specific place in mind?
We were gonna get married in Kauai.
Okay, have you been there before?
I've been to Maui before, but I've not been to Kauai.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, it's I've seen it. I've seen that general area in like only ever in like Disney stuff, or like I've read about it, or you know, I've no like, or like TV shows and stuff, I've no actual experience of it, but yeah, it looks like incredible. Okay, so yeah, friend's living room is a bit different then, but I guess like everybody that needed to be there was there, isn't that right? That's yeah, what it's all it was, about.
Yeah, it was really special. It was like very intimate, and like you weren't nervous because no one was there that like
Yeah, it's like, so it's kind of like the plot of a rom-com as well. So like that's always good when you know, if it could be made into a film, you're doing something right. Unless it's like a horror, I guess. Okay, so you've been married like nearly 2.5 years then, I guess. That's cool. How's it going? Still happy, yeah?
Yeah, it's actually, I feel like it's getting better as time goes on, honestly.
Oh, that's cool. You're finding like a groove.
Yeah, like you find a groove, and I feel like obviously we were really young, so like we're also like growing and changing ourselves, and like,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know, it's been really fun. It's been really, really fun.
Okay, you're 20 now, are you? Okay, so you're 18 when you got married. And what age was he the same?
He is like 2 to 3 years older than me, depending on the time of year. So
Okay.
he's,
Depending
knock
on
on
his
God.
mood.
Yeah. He was, I want to say 21 when we got married.
Okay. And what like was is would that be a common age to get married, like, or because to me, like, if I heard of an 18-year-old getting married, I'm like, oh, that's quite young.
Yeah,
But
no,
like
I think it was definitely young. I had a lot of people like, oh, you're really young, are you sure? But also like, I think if you know, and
yeah.
yeah.
That's cool. He's crazy supportive of you. Like, obviously, you'd expect a husband to be supportive, but he's like, it's cute, like, because he like he basically like fangirls. Like, if you go through his page, it's like almost every post is like fangirling, which is really sweet. Like, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, it's really sweet. He's like, yeah, I love it when he posts those because he's not super, he's not a very emotional guy, or like maybe he's starting to be, but like it's few and far between when he like really like shares his
Yeah.
feelings. Those posts are always very sweet.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, so how are you finding living in Vegas?
I like it. It's hot. Like right now it's like 110, but I like it nonetheless.
Because if you're, because yeah, you said like a small town, so I'm assuming that was a big adjustment to move from somewhere small and quiet to like Vegas is quite the opposite.
Yeah, the nice thing about Vegas though is like it's so spread out. Like it's a big city, but it's so spread out that you don't feel like you're really like on top of each other.
So speaking of on top of each other, so you're with Underdogs, and Justin is your coach, and Justin and Ashley and Kiefer founded the company and the programming and everything else. And Justin coaches you, and you train in the gym, and then now they live. So now they've sold their house, they're buying a new house, but in the meantime they're living in your house. So is it like, are there times where you're just like, oh, can we just not? Is it like a constant reminder of like all the work you have to do, or all the stuff you've suffered for the last few weeks?
No, it's been good actually. I like having people around. Like I'm a big family gal, so like I like being able to just walk over and like visit with Ashley or say hi. And Justin's really good about not like he's not telling me about my times or this or that. We're just like chatting, so it's
Yeah,
good.
that's good. That's good. Yeah, that would be awful if you're like trying to watch something and he's like, "Hey, I was thinking about your rowing intervals tomorrow."
No, I,
Get
if I bring it up, like something up, then we'll talk about it. But he's definitely not like, hey, I know you're like chilling over there. Let's brainstorm tomorrow.
okay, and because you mentioned you're a family guy, and I remember on Savanta you were talking about your parents and your relationship with your parents, and like it's great that you found Underdogs, because like the big aspect that I see of them, at least from the outside looking in, is it's very familially based. Like, it's very like they're basically like a mom and dad, and everyone is like being taken care of or being looked after, or be like, it's like it's an eclectic group of people that they've managed to bring together, and then they seem to, I don't know, like, they're like, because even at the, in the early days when it was like, say, Carrie and Bethany and Baca from Argentina, like, they were all like in their house doing their monostructural stuff, like in their kitchen, and like they're always involved, everyone's always involved with Ivy and Jax, and you know, like, there's, it's a real like family vibe. It, like, I don't know if you believe in fate or any of those kind of things, but like, it can't be a coincidence that you have a rough start, like, family wise, and then find like a perfect fit with coaching. Like,
I am a faith gal, so yeah, I believe everything happened for a reason, for sure. And also, like, even though my family was like, had issues, like, love was still like a big part of things. So like, despite everything going on, like, I always like had their love, like, my parents' love was there, and like,
yeah,
I had a lot of like extended family too that was always supportive. So yeah, definitely, yeah. Very nice.
What were the major, like, what were the major say downsides of your family then, would you say?
Just like the consequences of substance abuse. So like, there were time periods where like, neither of my parents could drive because they both had suspended licenses for DUIs, so they couldn't take me to school or they couldn't take me anywhere, so I had to like live with my aunt and uncle. Or like, there was times where they couldn't work, or the emotional stress of coming home and they're drunk, or just like little things like that. Like, I'd say the emotional stress, and then just like the basic things of like transportation and the more like minute details of parenting that weren't always available.
And is that like part of that? Is it anything to do with why you moved to Vegas as well? Like, to just be like fresh start kind of thing?
No. I honestly, like, I miss my family a lot despite all of that. But yeah, no, Vegas was just because my husband moved here.
Yeah. Do you drink, or have you ever drank?
No, I've had like a sip of alcohol. I've never been quote unquote drunk.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like I'm not like against other people drinking, and like, each to their own. I just have a lot of like PTSD around alcohol.
Yeah, I kind of figured like that it would be a difficult thing to, I don't know, it'd be difficult to have a normal relationship with it. Do you know, like, it'd be different. Like, yeah, it's almost like you don't, I know it's an inanimate object, but it's like you it's hard to trust it. Like, you know, it's like, you know, the damage it can do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for 90% of the population, like, they can probably go out and have a drink and it's just like a fun time, and getting drunk just means like funny shit's gonna happen. But for me, like, thinking of someone being drunk, like, automatically I'm like, oh my gosh, like, are they gonna get pulled over, are they gonna crash, like,
yeah,
what do they do while they're drunk? So like, yeah, I don't know, I don't think I ever see myself like going out and getting drunk. Like, maybe mess around with like a couple glasses of wine or something at dinner, but like, yeah, not anything else.
Yeah. Have you got siblings?
I have one brother and he's 5 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big age gap. Okay.
Yeah.
So was that like, was your nose out of joint when like a baby arrived, or were you like, oh, this is amazing, I get to like help out and be useful and stuff?
It was kind of like surreal. Like, I mean, I think even now, like, he's my brother, but it's almost like I'm like the cool aunt in a way.
Yeah, he was a surprise. So I found out my mom was pregnant and I was kind of like, what? Okay. But yeah, he's super cute. I miss him a lot.
Yeah, I bet. Were you always sporty? Like, did you play other sports when you were growing up?
Yeah, my biggest like sport was lacrosse. So I played that from like second, third grade all the way through high school. And I always like, that was probably my biggest like commitment to a sport. Like, I always played throughout the year, like played for the school and then like a couple club teams.
Yeah.
But then growing up,
what would be the characteristics of lacrosse? Is that like short sprints and then like kind of constantly moving, or is it like
same field play as like soccer? So okay, like, there's like midfield, offense, defense. But then like kind of like hockey, as far as like there's a ball and then you have like your stick and you like pass it around.
Is it aggressive?
For the men, yes, which I'm kind of jealous about. Like, so they have like pads and helmets and like there's like full contact. The women's side is definitely a little more finicky. Like, you can't do a lot.
Okay. And after lacrosse, then what else?
Yeah. So high school was like lacrosse. I danced. Those were like my two big things. Like middle school and stuff, I did like volleyball, basketball, lacrosse. Like, I kind of just played everything.
Hmm. When did you start doing CrossFit?
My middle of my junior year of high school. So I was 16.
And how did that like blip on your radar?
Long story, like kind of like one of those things where it's like, there's no way it just happened. But my health teacher saw me like climbing a rope in class and was like, do you do CrossFit? And I was like, no. And she pretty much gave me Reagan Huckabee's number and was like, hey, she's expecting a call from you. She sent me to her gym, and that was that.
That's cool. And did you know what it was like when you were going? Had you seen like the games, or had you seen, or when did that? So when did, say, like the competitive aspect kind of register?
Yeah. So at first, I didn't really know much about it. I knew like, so my dad was kind of into bodybuilding, so I knew that like CrossFit was like kind of looked down upon from the bodybuilding side of things. And I knew that it was kind of expensive and there was a lot of stigma about like getting hurt and all that stuff. So, but I still like showed up and I really loved it. And then I found out there was like a competitive side to it. Like, obviously I saw Reagan and like her Instagram and saw that she competed. And yeah, then I found out there was a teen division and I was like, that's cool. So,
So like, it's interesting because you entered the Open as a teenager, like twice, and according to your games profile anyway, twice.
Yeah.
And then now you've qualified for the games. Like, when you were a teenager, was that your aim to qualify for the games as a teenager and to be there as a teenager? Or were you always like, you know, it doesn't matter what happens until I'm like 19, 20, 21, 22 kind of thing?
Yeah. So as in the moment, as like a teenager, I really wanted to qualify really badly, but I had people telling me like, hey, think bigger. Like, if you make it, awesome. If you don't, like, focus on the individual side of things. So like, it stung to like be so close and not make it, but I did thankfully have like a bigger picture mindset.
Yeah. When you moved to Vegas with your husband and his family, and then were you like, oh, I'm moving to Vegas, I need to investigate places that I can go and see where I can like further myself, like with CrossFit and stuff? Or did you move to Vegas and then one day happen to walk into a gym and Justin Kotler was there? How did that relationship start?
So when I moved to Vegas, I started working for a gym called Camp Rhino, like coaching classes. And there was a few guys there, Kaylin, Brett, and John, who were like pretty like athletic and like good. So I would just work out with them, which was really fun. And eventually Carrie moved here, Carrie and all those guys. And I didn't like think to like just like go in there, but Brent, one of my friends, was like, hey, you're too good for us, like, you should go train with Carrie. And eventually, like, I had a connection and I went and met her, and just kind of started training sporadically, like off and on at that gym. I met Justin, and then after that season is when we started working together.
And because do they train out of Rhino now? No.
Now they train out of Rhino. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I knew Rhino was a familiar name and I wasn't sure, wait, is that the place they started or the place that they are now?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's handy. That's like all your hens have come home to roost there. That's pretty easy. It's all familiar. So you were obviously training with Carrie then, and I'm assuming Justin was like watching, thinking, all right, okay. it was it a case of it just kind of like naturally was heading that way, or was did you like was one person kind of leading the charge of like, oh, we should make this happen, and you know, I can help, or you could help me, or whatever?
Yeah, I had asked him actually right after I qualified for semis the first time, and I was like, hey, can you take me on? And he was like, let's talk after the season. Like, I need to be like responsible with my athletes, and like,
yeah,
it just wouldn't make sense to take someone on so like short notice. And but he's like, but still come train with the girls, like, we love to have you. So I just kind of kept coming sporadically, and then after the 21 season, then we sat down and had a conversation, and like, he was like, yeah, like, I want to take you on, and like, we'll just go from there.
Okay. Were you disappointed when he said like, no, we'll wait till after?
Yeah, I was, but I understood. Like, I understood like he needed to focus on his athletes going to the games, and
what are your thoughts about semis last year? Like, how did you feel about, were you expecting to qualify? Like, how did you feel when you qualified?
Last year. Yeah, no, I was like just happy to be there. I think I finished like 100 and something in quarterfinals, so like barely made it in. I think I was ranked like bottom 5 like going in, so it was just like, this is just for fun, like do what you can do and try to learn some stuff about yourself. And I had a couple events that I did well on and a couple I definitely didn't do well on.
And who was like in your corner then? So who did you bring like as a advisor or coach or just carrying bottles of water?
Yeah, so my friend Alex was like backstage with me like as like coach / friend, and then at the time I was following Forged by Zeus,
okay,
like template programming, and Dave was there with Meg Reardon, so he kind of like chatted with me a bit because he was like the main guy from Forged by Zeus.
Yeah.
And then also like my husband was there helping me a ton, so
yeah. That's cool. That's Tim Poulsen does that as well, doesn't he? The Forge. Yeah. Tim's cool. Okay. Did you say you were just doing the template, the kind of cookie cutter version of Forged by Zeus, we'll say, like, yeah. The kind of, okay. Yeah. So it's probably not that common that someone that doesn't have an individual coach goes that far, and then like it's remarkable really, like it's funny that you found yourself surrounded by, like, you consistently found yourself surrounded by the people that you needed to be surrounded by. Do you know, like, I'm thinking of in Oregon, you just found like the right teacher who pointed you in the direction of, like, she could have just said nothing,
yeah,
and like none of this would have happened, or
yeah, you know, I think like that all the time, like, what if I didn't climb a rope that day, or like didn't go to school?
Yeah, what if you were just shit, like what if you just misstepped, and like she was like, oh my god, she's kind of shit, and like, yes, just, you know, like, and you just made a mistake. Yeah, it's crazy, like it's crazy. Okay, so working with the underdogs then, so like, is it fair to say it's a good fit? I'm assuming if your coach is living,
yeah, it's obviously
working
it.
Well, like, what is it about it that you, that like vibes at you, do you think?
Like the family aspect I really love. Everyone is just like, we're all there for each other, like make each other better. Ashley and Justin would do anything for any of us in a heartbeat if we needed it. And yeah, like obviously like the training environment's really good. We got a lot of really good athletes. And so there's just like the mental side, the fitness side, like it all just works very well.
Is it like, so we'll get on to semifinals this year and stuff, but just like, say, so Ricky's going to the games this year and you're going to the games this year. Is it easier to handle the amount of, say, athletes that are there when it's only you and him that are going, and it's not, you don't feel like you're competing with, say, like if Kyra had also qualified and Allison had also qualified, like, is it like, because it must be hard to It's kind of easy to avoid each other up until a certain point of the season, I guess. Or it's easy, like, open kind of doesn't really matter. Quarterfinals, like, kind of doesn't really matter. And then semifinals, kind of like, oh, shit, what if I end up in the same, like, the same semifinal as someone? Like, is that one of the difficulties of being in a training camp as opposed to just, like, working with one person?
Yeah, I can see that. And they're... maybe has felt like been feelings like that sometimes, but I feel like right now we have a really good environment and like everyone's really happy for each other. And like, it is just Ricky and I, which is nice. Like it gives Kiefer and Justin, like, I guess it makes it easier for them as well. But I don't feel like if Kyra or Allie qualified, like, I don't think there'd be issues. Like, I think we would just feed off of each other and try to make each other better.
Yeah, until 3-2-1 go, and then it's...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, we're competitive, but, like...
Yeah.
There's so many workouts where I can think of where Allie's, like, kicked my butt, and it's, like, we're both dying on the floor, and it's, like, good job, girl, like, thank you.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Like, we appreciate that, because that's what makes us better.
What does Carrie add? Because I've seen... I suppose I kind of assumed when she retired, just gone... I assumed like, oh, she'll go back to New York. She's just finished, whatever. But soon afterwards, Justin was like, oh no, we're going to have like a role. Like, you know, she has a lot of experience. She has a lot of like, you know, advice she can give and stuff. Like, what's it like having some, cause she's obviously the most successful, you know, the highest placing American female in recent years. Like, so what is it like having her around?
She's amazing. Even from day one, like super inviting, like very positive, very willing to like share her knowledge and her expertise with people. Like 3-2-1 go, she's very serious and like does the work, but she's always like wants to make everyone else better and like is super helpful. So yeah, she like retired, which we were all like, dang it, like. And she was kind of out of the gym a lot for like the early season. But then after semifinals, she was like, hey, like, I want to help you guys. So like, she's been training with us Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Anything we need, like conversational wise, like she's there. And it's been really cool. Like she's super, super helpful.
Is there things like, is she kind of saying things? I'm assuming it's about like the kind of what it's like competing and what, you know, like the kind of mindset, I suppose, aspect of it. Is she saying things that are like, you know, like mind blowing that you would have never thought of? Or is it more that she's kind of crystallizing things that you maybe thought would be true or that you had kind of a grasp of, but she's saying like, oh yeah, it's exactly what you think it is.
I would say like crystallizing, like we had a conversation about like how crazy the schedule will be at the games and how we're probably going to be bussed around at really inconvenient times and you're going to be tired and you're going to be frustrated, but like staying calm is going to get you so much farther than like getting upset. Just like little things like that. Or like making sure you have food with you, making sure you always have water with you at all times. Like even if you're not hungry, just bring it just in case, you know, cause you never know. So just like little things like that.
I remember hearing, I think it was Lazar Djukic said it, that he was like at the start of the games, like whatever Wednesday, he was like, you know, bouncing. He was like, oh, this is amazing or whatever. And then like Thursday, they had their rest day or whatever. Friday, he was like, you know, like chatting away and enjoying it, whatever. And then like Saturday, he like only spoke to his coach and like nobody else. And then Sunday, he didn't even speak to his coach. He was just like, I couldn't, like, I just didn't have the bandwidth to or the energy to say like yes, you know, like he just had nothing. Yeah. So yeah, I think conservation is key.
That's what I'm most nervous for, is just like the whole weekend, like as a whole.
Does it make it easier knowing, because I know, like, say they released the schedule like a couple of weeks ago. They released the specific schedule, say this morning or last night, times and stuff kind of, and then they released the cuts. Like, does that make it easier knowing that stuff, or is it like, does it make it worse knowing like, oh crap, they're cutting like 10 people?
I mean, it's nice to know they're only cutting 10 and like top 30 is like a reasonable goal to shoot for. So that doesn't make it more nerve-wracking. The schedule is just kind of like gets your brain turning. You're like, what are we all doing for an hour at 2:30?
Yeah.
Like there's only so much you can all be doing for an hour. So.
Yeah. I always kind of wonder though, do they say like, do they give you an hour window and then it's only a 10 minute workout? You know, like, do they say, do they ever like, because they surely can't be like, I don't know. I just think they're not kind enough to tell you like, we need you for 45 minutes and it's going to be a 40 minute workout with a 5 minute turnover. You know, like it's always like, it's quite vague. I think even the specificity still leaves it vague. Yeah, so as coaches then, so I've interviewed Justin and I've interviewed Kiefer and I've seen Justin on like live feeds and stuff and like, you know, the Miles Madison and that kind of stuff. And I've seen Kiefer on live stream and stuff. And they're very different. Like the way they talk is very different. The way they emote is very different, or the way Kiefer doesn't emote. And then on live stream and stuff, you've got like, you know, Justin is like very emotional and very like outwardly and loudly supportive, whereas Kiefer is more like stoic and like will maybe nod and applaud like politely. Are they just a perfect match? Is it like the yin and yang? Is it just like, are there days where you're like, okay, I need Justin today, and then other days where you're like, oh, I need just Kiefer to just tell me what to do and then let me do it?
Yeah, I think they're both a yin and a yang is a perfect comparison. I think they're both, they balance each other out really well, and it is nice, like if you want like more like gung-ho support, you can just go like say like talk to Justin. And Kiefer's very supportive too, just in a more like, hey, like you did so good, like give me a hug, like let's talk about it kind of way. Or like, here would maybe be a good example, like if say a track session started maybe going amiss or like the paces started getting really hard, Kiefer might like look at it a little more analytically, like, oh, should we change it, or like should we change it, or are they just tired, like something like that. Whereas like Justin would probably be like, they're just tired, like they need to go, something like that.
Yeah. Are you intending on like Underdogs being home for a while, do you think, for a few years?
Yeah. Feels like home.
And then I'm curious about like, say, chemistry and the chemistry of a group and that kind of thing of like, so obviously there's obviously good chemistry between, say, specifically, like, I know you were on a team at Wadapalooza with Kyra and Ace Goods. So that's obviously, there's obviously a good friendship there between the three of you. So that's good. And then, like, I know Matt, I just kind of feel like it'd be very difficult not to like Matt. And then the same with Kiefer and Justin. And then I suppose I'm curious, say, in the last, like, week, there's been a big turnover where Danielle has left and Ricky has come in. So that's like one. And I suppose with Ricky specifically, it's like, I think he's someone in the sport who everyone had an idea of what he was like, regardless of if it was true or not true, or regardless if it was based on fact or just assumption or whatever. But like, it seems like there was a split of like, oh no, he's an asshole. Was like one side, and then the other side was like, oh no, everyone deserves a second chance and whatever. But then even I suppose he like understandably is guarded and like doesn't
talk. He's a great lot. He's so nice.
Yeah, like, but like I mean, like before you met him, say looking online,
before I met him, I thought maybe he would be like a little more reserved.
Yeah, like you can get nothing off him online. It's like, oh, he trains. You know, like there's just so little like there to mine, like.
Yeah, I thought he might just be a little more reserved, like maybe a little edgy, like not mean, but just like a little edgy. But
gruff, I think is the.
Yeah, he's so sweet, like so nice. And like he'll make these little jokes, but he has like a heavy accent too. So you're kind of like, wait, did he just make a joke? And then you like catch the joke and you're like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And what's it been like though, say, for the, like, was it, was it like perfect timing him arriving, because it took the, I guess, potential dip away from the fact that Danielle was gone, there was a big change, and then it's like, oh, look, Ricky's here, like straight away.
Yeah, it's been super great. He's a great guy to train with, like, just constantly lifting each other up. And like, he's super fit, obviously, so really like pushes me on a lot of workouts. And him and his girlfriend are just super sweet, so like, they're a great addition to the environment. And
that's cool to hear. Open and quarterfinals then.
Do you have a question? Like,
no, well, I don't like putting people on the spot, and I'm like, I don't want
to. I'll tell you no if I don't want to answer it.
Are you happier with the environment now than you were like 3 weeks ago?
The environment's a lot better. Like, it just, there's not any drama, which is really nice.
Okay. Are you surprised, or were you surprised at the way things transpired? Because obviously, like, say you're an athlete who's gearing up for the games. Because I asked someone else this the other day, and I just thought it was interesting what they said. So if you could put yourself in that position where you're like, oh, things aren't right with Justin. So hypothetically, again, I know things are great. But if you had a problem, we'll give two scenarios, right? Because there's a lot of unknowns in what happened. So we'll say you have a problem with him. Do you suck it up and say nothing and be like, no, screw it, I'll deal with it in August. It's too much of a disruption. I'll just suck it up and say nothing and get on with it. And then we can talk about it after the games. And then the second scenario is he has a problem with you, but you don't see it. Do you alter your behavior to fit what he wants as far as the games and then deal with it afterwards? Or do you think that, like, no, I just need to go?
I think in both of those scenarios, like, the one key thing that, like, I think could fix both of them is a conversation. Yeah. Like, on both of those situations, like, the scenario where I don't have any issues with Justin, but should I have an issue with Justin? I think, especially knowing him, I think he would be very apt to have a conversation. Like, he's a very, like you said, emotional guy. Like, he's going to tell you what he thinks. And especially if you open that door, like, hey, I want to have this conversation, let's talk. And vice versa. Like, if Justin was talking to me and saying, like, hey, I think you need to change, like, these are X, Y, and Z, like, I'd want to talk about it. Like, what are those things that you're telling me to change and why? And then I can either reflect and be like, okay, like, I see what you're saying and I agree. Or, like, maybe if I don't agree, then, like, that's where you would talk about some, like, alternate options, maybe.
Yeah. Were you surprised? Were you surprised at, say, people on the outside when, because obviously Danielle was on Savan's show and said, kind of alluded to the fact that things weren't right. And I think a lot of people were like, oh, geez. And, like, nothing was public at that stage. So I think even more so, people were like, God, that's, like, ballsy saying it. Like, it was just very open to say it, I think.
I'm very surprised at the way things were handled, not necessarily by Justin, but just the way things ended up happening. And I was kind of surprised at the podcasts that I've heard as far as that perspective, like, her perspective. Just being on the inside, I think there was a lot. I feel like there's two sides to that, her story. And I feel like whether Justin chooses to share his side, that's on him. I'm not necessarily surprised that she left. I'm just surprised at the way everything happened.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. It does. I think if I ask anything else, it'd just be way too specific and wouldn't be fair to include it regardless of what came out. Okay, so the Open and quarterfinals then this year. So you're a fully fledged underdog and you're, you know, Justin's in your corner, Keith is in your corner. You've had an enjoyable experience at Wadapalooza. Would that be fair? You enjoyed it?
Yeah, Wadapalooza is really fun.
It looks absolutely amazing. I'm currently trying to convince my wife that we need to go in January.
I feel like it's the funnest one to, like, spectate and compete at, because it's just so, like, warm, and yeah, it's just
yeah.
So
Warm but not too hot. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Especially for that time of year, January, like warm in January just sounds amazing. Okay, so then you head into the Open. Like pre-Open, what are you like, okay, I made semifinals last year, I need to make semifinals this year, and if I don't make semifinals this year, that's not going to be successful? Or are you like, okay, I made semifinals last year, but I mean by the skin of my teeth, so maybe that, you know, maybe that again is a success? Or like, what were your aspirations kicking off, or can you look at it that way yet, or could you then?
Yeah, I felt like obviously I was like, okay, I need to make semifinals. Like that would mean trajectory is at least like up. If I didn't make semifinals, I probably would have been like upset or like really disappointed. I did not expect to get 12. That was like a big shock. So I don't necessarily think I had a number in mind, but I definitely wanted to make it to semis.
And like, obviously then when you did well, like you were in more people's minds and you were in more people's like rankings or conversations or like that kind of thing, does that add pressure, or are you aware of that at the time?
It added pressure for sure. I remember like so many people like, yeah, you're gonna make it, like you're gonna make it, and I was like, because in my mind, like, I didn't have that thought yet, like I just wanted to do well, whatever that meant. And I was like, what if I don't make it, all these people are gonna be disappointed, like all these people believe in me and I'm going to let them down. So yeah, there was more pressure, I'd say.
A semifinals then. So I've heard it from a few different places that like, it wasn't, obviously it's, you know, pipe dream kind of thing, but it wasn't your intention to, or it wasn't your expectation to qualify for the games this year, that it was a bit of a surprise, or a bit of a, like a pleasant surprise, but it was like, basically like your brother, it was like a surprise, but it was pleasant. So was there a point during the weekend where you were like, oh shit, like if things align properly here, I could actually go? Or was it just, okay, when was that, or what happened?
Like after event two, I was kind of like, oh, okay. And then event three was like, okay, I'm in it, and it's possible.
And after the game, after Granite Games then, so do you, like, obviously you're happy and you're excited and stuff, like does that spill over, does that emotion carry you through, say, the first part of your training, or is there like a moment of realization of like, oh shit, like training's about to get really hard?
I've had like a few moments where I'm like, it's not even the training, like I'm like, it just feels like hard training, right? Like a little bit leveled up. But then I'll have like these moments of where I'm like, oh shit, I'm training for the games. Like, what if I have to do like a marathon row, or like, or I'll see like an old event and I'm like, oh man, what if I have to do that? Because I've like idolized the games, right, for so long.
Yeah.
And like, I've spectated the past few years. And I remember like watching certain events, like, oh shit, like 90 chest to bar pull-ups in a row. Like, can I do that? But now it's like, whether you can do it or you're not, like, you're going.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you'll be fine. It is crazy. Like, it's crazy when I think it, because there's more and more of that happening now consistently, where people are qualifying who have been fans of the sport and who have watched it for years. Yeah. And then they're like, you know, I'm trying to picture what will be going through your head when you walk out into the Coliseum for the first time, or walk out into the field for the first time. It's just going to be crazy. Is that like, so obviously you're talking to Carrie about stuff like that, but do you talk to Kiefer or Justin about like, because I know you talk about workouts and you talk about like, you know, maybe the intention of a workout or what you should be thinking about or what you should be focusing on, but do you ever talk about like, I'm nervous about like lining up next to such and such, or being in a lane or the crowd or the Coliseum or that kind of thing?
Yeah, we kind of had a big conversation about that before semis, like just about like, okay, visualize the event, like visualize what you're going to be doing. Like attitude, like this is the best barbell you've ever used. This is the best pull-up bar you've ever used. So like that conversation is always like, I think that's just like an ongoing conversation when it comes up. And I feel totally comfortable going up to one of them being like, yeah, I'm nervous. Like, I think at semifinals, like they could tell it was event four, the chest to bar snatch run workout. I was just so tired that day. Like after the big chipper, I was so tired. And that was probably the event I was most nervous for because A, it hurt. Like it's just like a painful event. B, like chest to bar volume isn't my strong suit yet. So like, I just knew that I was going to probably take more breaks than the other girls. And I was just really nervous for that event. And I think they could tell. And so like their attitude shifted a little bit. Whereas like before an event that I'm like dialed in on, they're more probably like, hey, like, let's go. This is what you need to do. Whereas like that one, they're like, hey, like, let's go have fun. Like a little bit more lighthearted, trying to balance out the mood.
Yeah. Does it add pressure knowing like, you know, that there's going to be like a big audience watching a live stream, or that there's going to be a documentary, or that there's going to be like, because obviously the games, like semifinals is like, oh wow, like semifinals, but the game's like, oh shit, okay, like it's like there's a big fuss for the next 12 months. Yeah. Well, for the next 9 months, all people are going to be talking about is the games that have gone by, and then afterwards they'll start talking about the games that's going to come up again. So it's like, it's a big, it takes up a lot of bandwidth in the year. So does that add pressure?
I think it would have I made it before. But I think going in as a rookie, A, everyone's going to be looking at Tia, right? Like that's like the big picture. Like everyone wants to either see her win or see people like chase her, like make a race for her. So I think for myself, like the only like big coverage I'm going to get is like if I do really well, which is a good thing. Like that's like, okay, if I'm getting coverage, that means I'm doing well. If I don't, then like I don't get coverage. Like I don't think there's like that kind of pressure on me because I don't I think I get to still be kind of like an underdog going in.
Do you look at stuff like because it's your first time going, are you just like, say when you went to semis last year where you were like, oh, this is a, like a pleasant surprise, I'm gonna go and learn some stuff and see what happens and enjoy it and do my best, but like, you know, whatever. Or are you like, okay, like I'm a rookie at the games, I can win rookie of the year, I can, like, are you thinking that kind of way, or how do you like I guess have your focus set in the lead up to it?
I would say it's like half and half. Like half of me is like, you need to like enjoy this experience, and like you weren't planning on making it this far, so like you've already been successful in your season, like no matter what happens. But then the competitive side of me, I would be like, there's no way I want to go to the games and get bottom five. Like that just like doesn't sound fun. That sounds like an emotional, sad weekend. And like that, but like there's nothing like from the outside point of view, right? Looking in, it's easy to be like, oh, they're bottom five. But like the top 40 women, like in men, like they're still.
I mean, if it's bottom five, having executed absolutely perfectly, it's a good position to finish in. If it's bottom five and you bombed on workouts that you should have done well, and that's where it's like, oh shit.
Yeah. So like going in knowing that like I technically finished like in the top 40 women in the world, like that's something I have to like remember. Mm-hmm. But also like I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to go in and like make some waves or like have some events that like I do well on.
Yeah. Did I see you PB back squat like last week or 3 days ago or something?
You did. I like my adductor cramped while running today from that, and I'm like really sore now.
Is that that like that must give you confidence going into like a peak part of the season I wonder how many of the other top 40 are PBing lifts. And I know like a lot of them are around longer and they're like, you know, not old, but older. So maybe those moments are less frequent, like, but it must give you a bit of a boost heading into it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that same day we tested like the clean and jerk speed ladder from 2018 and like, just like little things like that where like you compare scores and you're like, okay, like that wasn't bad. Like that was pretty high up there. Definitely confidence boosts for sure.
Yeah. Are you having to be held back a little bit, do you think? Like, are you, because I'm always curious about, like, you know, like getting overly excited where you're maybe like Justin or Kiefer having to be like, yeah, you know, no, it's cool. Just maybe like pull it back a little bit, like, or are you having to, you know, find yourself needing to push yourself a bit harder where you're like maybe easing off out of fear of getting injured or, you know, like over exhausting yourself or something?
I think it's been pretty good. I've kind of been sick the past couple weeks, and I don't know if that is from the higher volume and my body just like maybe not adjusting as well. So I think that's been the hardest part, is just like figuring out how to like, how do you fall asleep if your body's like super stressed, or if your mind is racing, or how do you keep yourself healthy while also doing the volume that you need to do? But I feel like everything's been really good. Like Kiefer and Justin have a pretty balanced plan, and they do a good job of like giving us certain focuses and intentions. So,
does your husband do CrossFit?
He did. He does for fun now every once in a while, but he's just been really busy working, so not so much.
What is it he works at again?
He does fire prevention in California.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. He does it in California.
Yeah.
But lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
How far away is California from Vegas? It's not that close, is it?
It's like a 5-hour drive.
Oh, wow.
But he like stays there for the season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is he there now or is he in Vegas now?
Yeah, he's there now. I miss him.
Okay. It's probably a good time of year to be away though. As in like season one, like, okay, I get that you like the emotional support will be handy when you come home in the evening. Yeah. But it's like you're probably not great company either most days.
I literally just sent him con posted a video.
I saw it. Yeah.
Like my mind. So I sent him that because it's true. Like you get tired and like maybe you're not the best like date or the best like romantic partner. Or you're just tired and like you don't want to talk or like you don't want to like feel bad about not cleaning. Like, so that part's nice. But I think the emotional side of it is like, you don't realize how much of a difference it makes until he's not here. Like, in the off season, right? Like if training is really hard, like I come home and we hang out or watch a movie or like, I'm just not thinking about CrossFit. Whereas like now I come home and like, if I go on my phone, like that's CrossFit. If I like shut my eyes to like think about something, like the only thing in my head right now is CrossFit. So like, the emotional side, I miss having him home.
Yeah, I'd say. So is it outdoor fire prevention he does then?
Yeah, so he goes and essentially like removes brush and like...
You were like, fire prevention, but it's seasonal. I was like, I'm pretty sure fire's around all year. I was thinking like businesses and houses and stuff. But yeah, outdoor in California, seasonal makes sense with fires.
Yeah,
we don't get a lot of... perhaps unsurprisingly, in Ireland, where it rains like all the time, we don't get a lot of like wildfires outside. It's a rare. He wouldn't do much business here, I'll put it that way.
Well, I guess that's good for you guys. No fires is good.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of sun wouldn't go astray, but yeah, I take your point. Okay, you did the Wadapalooza. You did that with on a team of three. Is that something that you'd revisit? Like, would you do that again next year? And then I suppose further down the line, would you be thinking like, oh, maybe like Team Underdogs could be cool? Because I know like Justin and Chase did their team track, and they're obviously, I assume they're looking at like maybe next year entering a team. So if you were asked, would you be like, hell no, I'm one individual? You'd be like, oh, well, team of three was kind of fun.
Team of three was very fun. I hate the worm. Like, the worm is just, maybe it's because we didn't practice a whole lot. It's just like that like uncomfortable pain where like, even if you're like tough, it just sucks. Like, it's like going all over the place. Like, you're dying, but you don't want to let your team down. So like, I don't love the worm, but I did love like the team aspect. Like, that was kind of fun. I would go on team with the right people. Like, okay. If there was like a good team put together and like it made sense, I would do it.
Yeah. Team seems to be becoming more palatable for individual athletes now. I think when you see like Iceland and you know, like the attention and the kind of fanfare around it, it kind of makes it a bit more, I don't know, approachable, I think, or a bit more of an attractive option, I think. That'd be interesting. Okay, well, look, we'll finish with a quick fire.
Okay.
Okay, so barbell or dumbbell?
Barbell.
Run or row?
Row.
Rings or bar, as in gymnastics bar?
Rings.
Thrusters or burpees?
Burpees.
Ski or row?
Oh. Ski.
A dream games event. So if you wake up on Friday and you're like, yes.
You want like a realist, okay, realistic, like something they would program. I would love to see bench press, like some sort of like Linda event would be cool.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd like that.
Interesting. Boz was on with me the other day and he said two things that I thought were interesting, where he said there's one event that everyone's going to do, like age groups, everyone is going to do the same event, like programmed the same way. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And he also said, oh, this doesn't really affect you because you would use it anyway, but he said that whatever the new piece of equipment is, that everyone's going to use it. So it won't be just, you know, the way usually it's just the elite male and female.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like the age groups are going to use it or a version of it or whatever. I thought that was interesting.
My like hopeful side is like, oh, maybe bench press will come back because like last year wall walks were like the new movement and they brought those back. And I feel like bench press kind of caught people by surprise in quarters. Yeah. So I was like, maybe they'll bring it back.
Yeah. Wasn't it like, it was like regionals in 2018 or something they did Linda, didn't they?
Yeah, it was regionals. Yeah.
So they could do like a heavier one because that was like 4 years ago or whatever. So people are probably stronger now.
A heavy one would destroy you, but it'd be fun. Or maybe like half the volume, but heavier. So like... Yeah.
Or eight, like dumbbells.
Or like 10-8-6-4-2 instead of like 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah. If you did dumbbells either, because then that would show up if someone was shit on their left side or their right side or whatever. Very cool. Okay, well, look, thank you for coming on. And thank you for being such great company. And good luck with the rest of your season. It's great. Yeah, brilliant.